Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien. I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen. Mummy, I'm coming to you live from the revolving ballroom of the Café Berlin, high atop the Chrysler Building in the heart of Manhattan in New York City. And what a glamorous night it is tonight. For those of you in New York, you know exactly what I mean. And for those of you in other climes, you don't. But right now, the snow is swirling around the city. And up here in the Chrysler Building, I can barely see the streets below. The snow is falling, and it's just beautiful. The streetlights, you could see the snow swirling around the streetlights, and it's just warm enough in the city to melt the snow, so it's not gathering in the streets and making it impossible to get around. There's a little bit of slush. There's snow on the rooftops of cars and stuff, but it's falling heavily, but not sticking, and that's great. Just about 30 miles north of here, they've got about 6 inches of snow, and then you go up farther north, and they've got 12 or 24 inches. But really, I mean, who knows? And who cares? There's a danger of polar bear attacks up in Rye, New York, or wherever. They're very close to the Arctic Circle, so Mummy can't really worry too much about them. I'm here in the revolving ballroom with my wonderful producer and my muse, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you? A little chilly.
Yes, but aren't we thrilled to be where we are, and we're hosting our show tonight. We're sending it not only across the country, but around the world. There are actually listeners right now on our show every week. I know that some people don't realize this, but we not only have listeners coast to coast, 8 o'clock Eastern time and 7 and 6 and 5 o'clock Pacific time, but we have listeners in Australia and South Africa. All over Europe, we have listeners to our podcast right now, which is why Come Now, Don't Sulk is what's called a live podcast, and we're very excited to be doing that. We welcome you all, wherever you are, in whatever countries you're from, whatever states you're in. We're very glad that you're here. Our show, Come Now, Don't Sulk, is part of the Here Be Monsters studio on the Blog Talk radio stations, and we are produced and sponsored by daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word. And it's the fragrant memories of our ancestors. During the podcast tonight, if you can manage it on your computers or your laptops, go to the daughtersofisis.com website and check out their amazing products. And my producer happens to be the foundiatrix of daughtersofisis.com. I love putting a trix on all sorts of words. Aviatrix, foundiatrix. I love putting that. Actress is not that good a word. Actriatrix is a very good word. Now the Oscar for the best actriatrix of 2019. You see, it's so much more exciting. I don't know why. Oh, speaking of which, one of my pet peeves, Gwendolyn, masseur and masseuse. Masseuse has taken on a life. People just use the word masseuse. They forget that masseuse is a woman. Masseur is a man. Easy to remember.
Right.
Masseur. Just think of masseur, S-I-R, right? That's basically what it is, masseur. But people keep calling a man a masseuse. No, a masseuse is a woman, a masseur. And if you want to really make it easy, call it a masseusiatrix. So if you're calling for a woman to give you a massage, you're looking for a masseusiatrix. Try finding that in the Village Voice. Anyway, she is the foundiatrix and the produciatrix of this show. Gwendolyn, we're done with Thanksgiving, and we're hurtling towards the holidays. Have you got an amazing fragrance that you're featuring this week or would like to talk about? Because I know you've got wonderful fragrances for the holidays. What's special this week that you love?
Well, I'd like to mention that until midnight tonight, everything is 15% off, no matter what you buy. We're having a gratitude sale. And most especially, I'd like to mention that with our hand-rolled, handmade incense cones, I've added a box of crones. I call it crone smoke. And it's all these wonderful grandmothers from different cultures that we can evoke and invoke for specific qualities of mind and heart. And I think right now we need a lot of grandmothering, if you will, with everything that's happening. It's lovely that it's the holidays, but it's certainly blowing a storm out there in the world. And these grandmothers, you know, they bring, their scent is meant to bring ancient feminine wisdom and secrets and enlightenment. Also, guidance and an opening of our natural instincts aligned with our Earth Mother at this time to be grounding ourselves. Age and experience for survival challenges right now. rebirth and the new birth in the world. It's always, you know, grandmothered in, and that's important too. And also remembering when times are dark, protection is in understanding, you know. One of my favorite grandmothers is, a lot of people will pronounce her as Hecate, but I say Hecate. And she is the grand, yeah, baby. She's my gal. She's right on my right. And she's there when there is something in the dark you're afraid of. She is the one who will guide you to it, surely, to face it and to vanquish it and turn it into something of a strength, a gifting. And there is also the grandmothers who bring peace and calming and harmony into this. And this ancient feminine energy is something during the holidays that we really need a lot of. So I'm spotlighting the crones, and I call my little box crone smoke.
Yes. Well, this is great. And you said that up until midnight tonight, 15% off everything that's listed on Daughters of Isis?
Anything.
Well, that's
anything
wonderful. That's wonderful. All right. So I want to tell everyone, remember, go to daughtersofisis.com. It's on the website. Go to the website. It's all one word. And check out the amazing products. Gwendolyn, briefly, how many products do you now have available on daughtersofisis.com?
Oh, there are a couple of hundred. my ambition, my ambition is to bring the cultures and their traditions to a fragrant and vibrational, a homeopathic, spiritual, vibrational place for people to use as tools of self-awareness and self-healing, and also to share and express with the world surrounding you. Fragrance is our gateway to memory, of course, but it's also a place where we transcend our physicality and are open to our other talents. And for every physical sense we have a subtle sense that allows us to get through this life with those gifts that allow us to learn deeper, to sidestep tragedy often.
Right.
You know, those points. And every culture has these things buried within it. My teacher was Joe Campbell, and after taking a class with him, I was changed forever. And I realized,
folks at home, Joseph Campbell, was the one who said, follow your bliss. He wrote many books, but one of them was Myths and Mythmaking. I happened to have met Joseph Campbell and Bill Moyers many years ago, together. What an amazing pair of people. And Bill Moyers brought Joseph Campbell to television and did a whole series of programs with Joseph Campbell. Anyway, yes, so talk about expansive thinking and just amazing. That's wonderful. Well, we are
experiencing, in my opinion, right now, and a lot of my archaeologist friends will give me crap about this, but the sovereignty of culture being at issue. But I believe we are watching a global culture emerge right now. And you can't deny that. And I think that Joe, he knew that this was going to be coming about. He was also very fastened to the myth that was created by George Lucas. At the time that I was going to school and I was taking class from him, the first Star Wars came out, and I was so involved in my schoolwork, and I didn't see that movie for like a year and a half later, but my kid sister went and saw it 17 times. It was like everybody, yeah. It really changing. You got a call, mommy.
what did you say? I've got a cold.
Oh, we had a caller and it dropped.
I have a caller. I'm sorry. I thought you said I have a cold.
You did, but it dropped. I think they'll probably be calling back in. But that amazing story, that myth of Star Wars has affected people who don't even realize have been affected by it in the last generation. So it's amazing.
I want to, you're absolutely right. I wanted to tell people that they can call in tonight because I didn't get around to giving the number, 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. If you're calling from the United States, that's all you need to enter. If you're calling from other countries, I'm not quite sure the code is for the United States, but you'll figure that out with your local operator.
Well, you do have the caller back. Shall I open this line up? There you go.
All right. Caller. Hello.
Hello. How are you? This is Patty Rosado from New York.
Patty
Rosado from New York.
How are you? Patty, how are you doing?
This is so wonderful that we can stay in touch through this new gadget of yours.
Yes.
I just posted it all over Facebook.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, it is amazing. Our technology is killing us slowly but surely, but it's saving us quickly but surely. So perhaps we'll be able to actually create more than we lose through our technology.
Oh,
yes.
I think so, honey.
Isn't this great?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Listen,
and, you know, we can talk.
Yes, I wanted to tell my subject tonight. I didn't have a chance to tell my subject because we got off on wonderful tangents, which are always welcome on our show. But I wanted to just say, so many people after Thanksgiving, they start to get all jittery about the holidays coming. And of course, then Christmas and New Year's come and go. And then it's January, February, March, and it's just bleak. And so many people, especially Fire Island people, resort people up in the north, who are, you know, heartbroken because then they've got nothing to do. They've got no beach to go to, no Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket or Cape Cod to go to, no Cherry Grove or Pines to go to. They become shut-ins. So my subject tonight was going to be, and is going to be, and Patty, you're the perfect person to ask this, what do we do about the winter blues? What do we take on a hobby? Do we do projects around the house? Do we go and take a class, like an art class or a knitting? Do we join a knitting club or a needlepoint club? Do we take dance class or do we join a dance club like the Big Apple Ranch or square dancing? Do we see friends? What do you do once the holidays are done to make sure that winter isn't just a time where you just pull the blankets over your head for 3 months? What do you do?
Well, unfortunately, I suffer from depression during the winter months. So, you know, I've been taking care of my mom in the last 4 years. But what I'm finding now that, she's resting in peace and I'm trying to get back on my feet after a surgery, is that, you know, there's so many things to do in New York, especially. You can volunteer. I volunteer for something coming up on Saturday. You know, when you give to others, you get so much back. And that was always my life when, before, you know, I got crazy with my own life. I would always, in the winter months, you know, do God's Love We Deliver, work with Sage. I mean, there's just so much, especially if you're in this area. And there's really no reason to not participate because there's so many things to do. You can always take classes. I'm now starting to write. I just created a blog for myself because let's
face it,
a lot of the things, a lot of the things that, you know, I want to discuss on Facebook, I'm no longer involved with a lot of shit that goes on there. Excuse my French. So, you know, you can write, you can take photography, you can go for nice walks, you can set up dates to meet your friends, create a club. I just learned while I was in rehab, not that kind of rehab, physical rehab, because of my surgery, how to play dominoes. I learned how to play blackjack. I mean, especially into this world, when we have YouTube available to us, you can just get on your laptop, and there's so many things that you can do to get yourself involved. There's community activities.
Patty, take a breath. what's your blog called? What's your blog called? Where can we find your blog?
I can't remember right now at the top of my head. It's Patty Rosado. .com. Simple.
Wait a minute. You couldn't remember your blog and it's your own name just with .com?
It has to be. Because you know what? I'm 64 years old now.
Yes,
things
but what
just
I just
stuff.
I found, Patty, the comic opportunity there was huge. It's like, I can't remember my blog. Oh, yes, it's pattyrosado.com. It's like, okay, that's P-A-T-T-Y for people at home.
Right.
P-A-T-T-Y-R-O-S as in Sam, A, Rosado. Oh, yes, A-D-O. A-D as in David O, Patty Rosado. And they can find you on your own blog. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, you could take classes, especially for anyone in our age group. There are so many services. I'm taking.
I just
want to
point. That's great. I want to point out for people who think that starting a blog or whatever is foolishness or et cetera. I just want to point out that what is her name? Dree Drummond or Reed, the Prairie Frontier Wife thingy.
I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Okay. Whatever she is, she's like, you know, she started a blog 10 years ago or whatever. And she started a blog, and what she did was, she lives out in, you know, Wyoming or wherever, Montana. And she started a blog and she posted recipes on it. And she posted little helpful hints, and all of those other wives across the prairie there tuned in and began reading her, and she got a following, and it grew and grew and grew and grew. And now she is a multi-millionaires on the Food Network or the Food Channel, whatever. And it started because she just started a blog and began to post her daily anecdotes about feeding the chickens and rustling a cow and, you know, branding a calf and, you know, re-chewing a horse and doing some needlepoint. So I don't want people to turn their noses up at something that's really extraordinary. Patty, that is wonderful news that you started a blog in addition to the other things you're doing. Now, you said you're volunteering at Sage. Do you also do things with, like, God's Love We Deliver and the other ones? What other ones do you do?
Well, right now I just got out of the hospital, so Sage is having an event next Saturday where, you know, they're trying to teach people how to eat well. They need volunteers, so I said, I'm mobile now. I can go in. I already went into the city this past weekend, believe it or not, in the middle of the storm that, you know, everybody was screaming about because I was determined December 1st to go for World AIDS Day. And, you know, there again, it's all about research. There's so many things online that can be offered. And I've always, and you know this, honey, because you know me so many years, I always believe that when we give of ourselves, it's the best gift that we can give humanity, and we get so much more back.
And
I think
the best gift you can give yourself. When you do those things, you're giving an enormous gift to yourself. It's so interesting how that works. So I want to urge people to remember that, to remember to volunteer for different projects. You don't have to do it every week if your schedule doesn't allow it.
Right.
But I have friends that offer to go, to, for instance, to God's Love We Deliver down in Soho, and they do Thanksgiving dinner, and they volunteer to serve Thanksgiving dinner to their intake, the people that come there to, you know, who are unfortunate and don't have homes or families that they can spend Thanksgiving with. And my friends that do that are absolutely transported. They've been doing it for years, and I can't recommend it enough. It's wonderful. So, Patty, are you going to now? So we've got you volunteering at Sage. We've got you starting your blog. And then what's the third thing you're doing? Are you going to take a class, or what's the third thing you said you're going to be doing?
No, I am. You know, when I was on Facebook a lot with taking care of my mom, I wrote daily anecdotes of having to take care of someone with dementia. And I started to collect all the little stories, and then, you know, excuse my French, the shit hit the fan and I stopped doing it. So I'm halfway there because I have someone that's very interested in seeing what I wrote. You know, I've been told I'm an excellent storyteller, and as I'm retrieving some of the stories about my mom, some days I just laugh, Sybil, and some days I just cry, because unless you've traveled that journey, folks don't know what it takes to take care of somebody. And we are all facing it because, you know, we're all baby boomers, and I didn't want my mom to end up in a nursing home. So that's my next project. I started today and I'm like, okay, one more story. It's going to be at least 6 months in the making. And then I'm very fortunate to be connected to some public people who said, Patty, when you're ready, give me the script. I can have it published for you. And I'm just very excited because this has always been my lifetime dream, to write something to help other people.
Great.
So it's a new life, Sybil. I'm 64 years old and I'm starting anew. I'm very excited. I almost didn't make it here, but here I am.
That is just wonderful. It's wonderful that you're writing that story. And about that, I happen to know Lisa Genova, who wrote she wrote Still Alice, which is the Oscar-winning movie that Julianne Moore finally got an Oscar for. She was nominated again and again. And so Lisa Genova is a very close friend of George.
George is doing so great.
Yes, and I wanted to just say that Lisa Genova wrote that story. She's a neurologist, and she you know, she knows a lot of about the chemistry of the brain as well as the psychology. And she wrote Still Alice, which is about a woman who is gradually losing her personality to dementia, to Alzheimer's. And so anyway, she wrote that, and she self-published, listen to this, she self-published that book. And it was a sweet little book that was a little volume that was out that she was trying to get into stores and everything. And it continued to make the rounds as an independently produced book. And eventually it caught the eye of an agent at Simon & Schuster. And they re-released the book on the Simon & Schuster label. Listen to this. And it became, of course, because of that, became gigantic. And then became a movie, and she has. So you're starting out writing, and I want to really encourage you to stick with
it.
Don't be discouraged, because there are books out there that became New York Times bestsellers and Oscar-winning movies from people just having faith in what they had to say and how they say it. So I can't encourage you enough to really stick to it and don't be discouraged. And as one writer to another, because I'm going to take another call, but I want to just say, I want you to remember, put a spiral ring notebook by your bed and a pen.
Okay.
Because
okay.
one thing that happens to me, and I know it happens to other writers, you'll think of something in the middle of the night. You'll wake up to pee or something, and you'll have been dreaming, and you'll have thought of something, and you'll think, oh, my God, and you'll think, that's a brilliant idea. I love that idea. Here I am peeing. I've finished peeing. I'm going to bed. The lights are off, and I know that I will remember aardvarks and avocados in the morning. Aardvarks and avocados.
Take the other call. I'll stay online.
Well, and you'll go to sleep, and you'll think you'll remember it, Patty.
Right.
Are you there?
Yes.
And you won't remember.
I'm here.
Yeah, but you heard what I said. You think you'll remember
yes.
it, and you won't. But if you just take that 30 seconds to write down on a pad of paper, aardvarks and avocados, that will probably trigger you enough to remember, oh, yes, that story, my mother told me a story, or this funny thing that happened. Remember to always write down in the moment what you are thinking of, at least code words that will trigger it so that you remember, because we all forget those wonderful things that we think we're going to remember. You should always have a pad of paper and a pen in your purse. And by the way, Neil Simon used to walk around everywhere with a pocket recorder.
Right.
So
that's
he
a
carried
good one.
A tape recorder with him all the time for decades, because he knew that if he didn't say it into the recorder on the spot, he was screwed. So I just want to tell you, please, please, please do that, Patty. I can't wait to hear some of your stories when I see you again.
Oh, sweetheart, it's such a pleasure talking to you. Now, can I stay online?
Well, you're listening to the show, so
okay.
I guess you either called in or you are on your computer listening to it on the link. Because if you're on the link, you'll hear it there, too. You can hear it right on your computer.
Okay, sweetie. Wonderful
Thank
speaking
you.
To you. Happy holidays.
Same to you, and Happy New Year. And I'm so glad that you're feeling better. And I'm so glad that you're making this time now with the challenges a beautiful time. It's
Thank
it's
you,
what
sweetie.
I've had to do, too. Love you.
Okay, my love. Love you, too.
Sweet dreams tonight. Good night.
Sweet dream, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Gwendolyn, do we have another call yet?
Not yet.
Okay, I want to remind people, 323-784-9639. That was Patty Rosato talking, and she's got a new blog, Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, Rosato, rosado.com. Check out her new and blooming and blossoming website. Speaking of websites and blogs, you can go to mine, which is SybilSez.com. That's SYBILSEZ.com and SybilBrunchen.com. You can also find me on Facebook at the Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild, or on my pages. You can also find me at YouTube and Instagram and Twitter. And you should absolutely go to the daughtersofisis.com website for the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do check out their hundreds of products. And why buy another brooch that you're never going to wear, or that hat that's too silly and gimmicky? Buy a fragrance. Experience something new and amazing, which is expansive, not only for your spirit, but for your mentality, for your heart, for everything. Expand your consciousness through fragrances. Amazing. Tonight, what to do about winter blues? I have a couple of suggestions. For those of you that don't have a hobby, get a hobby. Take an art class. Learn bridge. Join a knitting or needlepoint club. If you've never knitted, learn how to knit. There are yarn shops in every town around the country. Go to yarn shops and ask if they have knitting classes, beginning knitting classes, or beginning needlepoint classes. There are also quilting clubs. Patty said something amazing. The internet and our computers and our laptops and our phones, you can Google anything you want now. Maybe your hobby should be taking a beginning computer class at Apple. Or your local computer store. Learn how to use the computer and be a little bit better on it. Mummy is doing it. Good heavens, Gwendolyn and I are not young spring chickens, and we have expanded our ability to function on a computer out of necessity. Go take a computer class. It's wonderful and fun, and you'll meet other people just like you. Here's one. Take dance classes or join a dance club. I mentioned the Big Apple Ranch in New York. The Big Apple Ranch is a country western LGBTQ club that was started like 30 years ago. And it is country western dancing, two-stepping, and line dancing. And they also, and believe it or not, they also let straight people come in. So as long as you're well-behaved, we shan't have straight people coming in and making a ruckus. But Big Apple Ranch is in New York. There's also the LGBT Square Dancing Club. They are amazing. There is also the LGBT Volleyball League. Join that. They do volleyball indoors all winter long. Here's one, and I think this is really good, and Gwendolyn's going to love this one. I think that one thing that happens, especially for resort people, is that I'm going to mention Fire Island because Patty Rosato is a Fire Island girl. And I know so many people that are on Fire Island. Now, half of those Fire Island people run away to Florida or California for the winter. But the other half shut in. They have the most intense friendships that are summer friendships. How many of you do this at home? And then you don't see your summer friends for 6 months, 5 to 6 months. Those friendships stall. Maybe you talk once a week or once a month on the phone, but the intensity of those friendships that you had in the summer, where you spend whole weekends with people and love them more than anything, suddenly in the winter, they're gone. Gone. I'm thinking of a couple of people that are listening right now who know exactly what I mean. So this winter, I decided that I'm going to one of my favorite restaurants in the city, Cafe Luxembourg, and I have a standing brunch reservation on Sundays. So I have a table for two on Sundays at the same time, same table, all winter long. Now listen, I love Rachel and Sarah there and Jennifer. If I decide, or someone comes up to me and says, I would like to come to brunch on Sunday with you, or I invite someone on a Wednesday or whatever, I can call up and they'll add a couple of chairs. They'll add a table next to me and it'll be a reservation for four. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to make sure that I don't just say, well, if I find someone to go to brunch with, I will and I'll call in. I've made the reservation for two, George and myself, as a standing reservation. I can always call and cancel it, right? But it's there. It's there, sitting there. And it sort of, in a pleasant way, corners me into trying to do that. Gwendolyn, are you doing something in the kitchen? What is going on in there?
I was trying to mute
Are you breaking dishes or what are you doing? Gwendolyn, we're trying to do a show and it sounds like the staff of the restaurant has asked you to help wash dishes.
They have. I'm sorry.
All right. Anyway, I'm getting private messages on my Facebook page right now because I'm online and people are saying, Mummy, are you doing the dishes while you're doing the show? I was like, no, I'm not, but Gwendolyn might be. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. My reservation at Cafe Luxembourg is it can be expanded, it can be canceled. But what I love about having it there is that it's cornered me into making an effort to see friends and to get out of the house. Because I'll tell you, there are Sundays when Mummy sleeps a little bit late and it's like, you know what? I'll just open a can of soup and stay in all day. And that is not expansive. That's not what winter is about or shouldn't be about. Let's get out of the door. Let's get outdoors and see friends and keep friendships going and make new friends. Okay? Again, I want to remind you the phone number is 323-784-9639. 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn, what do you think of that, seeing friends? And see, when you're not up here, you live in Florida, so it's warm. You're off season down there, April, May, June, July, August, September. You people all complain, oh, well, it's off season, or you're glad the tourists are gone. But whatever happens where you live down in Florida, it's orchids and palm trees and everything. Up here, everything becomes Sleeping Beauty's forest. Everything dies and becomes shut in. Like on my tourette I did this past weekend of Fire Island, I did like 8 tourettes showing everyone what happens out there. It goes from being the most alive place in the world to Sleeping Beauty's forest. But you are lucky because, you know, yes, it's 100 degrees in August, but you could still go outside and see people walking on the street or whatever. And you know, so it's kind of hard to ask Gwendolyn. I love Gwendolyn more than anything.
You remind me of my mother, who was, of course, a snowbird, but at first, but she lived down here. But it was the run for the roses. After the Kentucky Derby, my mom would pack the car up and go to her place in the mountains in North Carolina, where she had these friendships that were so close, so tight with people. And through the winter down in Florida, she would keep in touch via phone here and there. But the friendships never diminished, never.
Right.
She could walk in, and she would spend September and part of November in upstate New York at my little place and up with her old friends in Rochester. And those relationships were sterling to the end.
Yes.
I mean, they really were. And it's funny because there are whole, I don't know, maybe we're the last generation that does that. I don't know. But I grew up around people that, you know, this is what they did in their retiring years. And retirement was early because 25 years of doing that, you know, following a golf ball, as they say.
Right. Well, I know so many young people who admit to the fact that they become shut-ins in the north up here, from Chicago to St. Louis to Seattle to Maine. They become shut-ins, and they begin to shut down, you know, as soon as Halloween and then Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. And they simply become couch potatoes, watching football games and staying in and sleeping and becoming depressed, as Patty Rosato said. And, of course, Patty mm-hmm. lost her mom and also had a physical challenge herself. But people who were perfectly healthy and 25 become, you know, they become sunlight deprived, and they suffer from SAD, S-A-D-D, and they just give up. And it's not until April and the thaw that they start to come out. There are other suggestions here. For instance, I'm doing a weekend brunch every weekend, but I could make a suggestion. Another way of doing friends is to agree that either on Thursdays or Fridays, well, any day that you want to do it, but it's easier on a Thursday or Friday, to agree to make a date, a standing date, either at different bars every week. So you're going to bars as an adventure, or to your own family bar, your own neighborhood bar, your own version of Cheers, and you tell your friends, listen, after work on a Thursday or after work on a Friday, we have a standing happy hour, 6 o'clock, we're going to go to this bar, and we're going to meet, and we're going to laugh and talk and not trudge home yet. We're just not going to shut in for the weekend, and make it a happy hour, a weekly happy hour that you and your friends do, and invite other people, expand the circle and bring other people in, so that you start to have a regular thing that you're invested in and you go and do. And I think that once you have that, if you don't want to do it at a bar, make it a weekly poker game, like Oscar Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a weekly poker game. Make it a weekly, Patty just said she learned dominoes. Make it a weekly dominoes game or a weekly bridge game. Listen, bridge, so wonderful. Learn bridge. And if you don't know how to play it, go online and look up bridge clubs for beginners and look up Mahjong. Do you know Mahjong is fabulous? We have a Mahjong club on the Upper West Side here. Join a Mahjong club and learn Mahjong. Fascinating game. And do it with other people. Do it with a friend or a group of friends and make new friends there. Here's another one, and I love this one. If you're sober and you don't drink, you still can do something fun. You can either do the brunch that I suggested, or listen to this. You could go around the world in your hometown with friends exploring restaurants. Make it Wednesday around the world, in which you go to an Indian restaurant one Wednesday and a Cambodian restaurant and a Thai restaurant. Go and explore other cuisines on a given night of the week and make it something that you do with friends. Before I was traveling so much with George for his work, I used to do the brunch. It was the Brunchen Club. I had brunches with Facebook friends, and we did monthly brunches. We did the first Sunday of every month, we would do a brunch, and they were the siblings. We called it the siblings. And they were, so it was SYBLINGS, They were siblings, and we all met at Manitou's down in Greenwich Village for brunch. And they came from all over the city. We had two people that came from Connecticut. We had people that came in from Queens and Brooklyn. And we met for the siblings brunch, which I might start up again this winter, because if I can get my schedule set, I might pick a Sunday that we could do that up on the Upper West Side. But why not do, if you can't do a brunch, do a restaurant in which you go to different restaurants for their cuisine, which could be very exciting. And here's another one. Why not have a potluck dinner? If you don't want to go out and spend money on restaurants and you're sober and you don't want to go out and drink, why not do a potluck and have a circle of friends that you go to each person's home and you do a potluck and you bring food that you made and cooked and do a weekly or a monthly potluck? That would be something that would have you be creative, which is very important. And lets you share your creativity with your friends. These are all things that are cheerful and happy. I'm going to tell you the next ones, and I should have done these first, except I think you would have all tuned out. But everyone talks about spring cleaning. Why spring cleaning? I mean, spring is here. You're going to open your windows. You're going to be out at the beach. You're going to be out of the house. Don't do spring cleaning. Do fall cleaning. And I'm not suggesting that you beat your brains out and make yourself miserable for 72 hours. Why not do something like clean out one closet, clean out the attic, clean out your basement or your garage? Do things around your home that make your home fun and clean and sparkly and new. I just had my bay windows done. I can't do them outside because I have terrible fear of heights and would fall to my death. But I did hire window washers to wash our windows. Our windows, that bay window is sparkling. Like I can see every snowflake right now. Do things around your house for the fall so that when you are in your home, and even if you are shut in, you feel happy in your home. You don't feel like, you know, miserable when you come home from work and you're like in the same mess. You still have that closet that's stacked to the front door of it and things fall out. It's Fibber McGee and Molly's closet. Take on one project and do it, one little project. And every week take on a project. And do what Julie Andrews did in Mary Poppins. You know, just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Put on your favorite music. Put on, you know, do something that's fun. Put on the TV. Have it playing in the background. And get busy and do one kitchen cabinet. Open one kitchen cabinet. Clean it all out. Wash everything. Throw away the things you don't want anymore. And then put it all back, sparkling clean. Wash the inside. Wash the shelves. Change the shelf paper. Wash the inside of the door. Close it. The next time you go for the peanut butter or the crackers or the salt or whatever, you're going to open it up or the dishes and you're going to go, oh my goodness, it's going to make you feel fabulous. And you know what? You'll do the next kitchen cabinet a week later. Do things in little, you know, inch by inch, life's a cinch, yard by yard, life is hard. Do little things around the house in the fall to make the winter fun and sparkly and clean. If you don't believe in putting up a
Oh, I just wanted to interject because you love flowers so much, and I do work with people on sad issues with the seasonal disorder. The flower essences that you can work with that help tremendously. You can find them in any Whole Foods store or the Bach flower remedies or whatnot. You know what I'm speaking about, the homeopathic remedies? These are some of the flowers, that the flower essences that you can use during the winter to keep you vivacious and ready to explore instead of to shut down. And one of them, big one, is morning glory. That flower essence is like having a cup of coffee, you know. It helps you to rise up to the occasion and get out there and get some of that winter sun. The sunflower is also one. A sunflower is a beautiful essence. It instills a light and sunniness and warmth within. St. John's wort is also a beautiful a beautiful remedy for any kind of quintessential depression. Just one other, the zinnia, it has a childlike quality to it, and it endows a person with that, delight and unconditional love and lightheartedness.
Terrific.
That pushes towards adventure. So I just wanted to mention those.
Those are wonderful, and those are the chemicals. See, so what's wonderful is Gwendolyn is giving you the chemistry, which is wonderful and valuable, and that cannot be underestimated. Fragrances, aromatherapy, these chemicals that go into our systems help to stimulate us and change our moods, our behavior, our psychology, and our spirituality. And what I'm trying to make sure you do is to remember that busy hands are happy hands, that when your hands are idle, not only do you become sad, but you can get into trouble. So, idle hands are the devil's playground. So you may not get into trouble, but you certainly won't get into a good frame of mind. Definitely take Gwendolyn's advice on going out and getting fragrances that are perfect essential oils, and go to daughtersofisis.com and check out what they have there. And Gwendolyn's available, by the way, through Daughters of Isis to answer your questions. I also cannot recommend enough, please take action. Do not think that something's just going to fall on your lap. You've got to get out of it's like Shirley DeVore. She had to get out of the front door to meet the man next door. Do you remember the Liza Minnelli song? She had to ring them bells. You've got to get out of the house, and you've got to go meet people and do things and see things to change this, the winter blues that become a malaise. I was talking to you, and thanks again, Gwendolyn, for the chemical side of this. You hit it from the nose and the spirit and everything, and then you hit it with the hands. I'll do the hands. Gwendolyn, you be in charge of the nose. I was suggesting clean out the attic and basement and garage and closet. Don't roll your eyes and shrug and say, I don't want to do those things. Do a little. Just do one and see how it makes you feel. You'll be amazed. I'll tell you another one. Buy a new doormat. Buy a new doormat for your front door. Throw out the beat up old one. Or take the doormat, if it's too good to throw away, put it in the bathtub, right? Run hot water over it. Turn on the shower or turn on the spigot, run hot water over it, get it thoroughly soaked, and then throw pine oil on it or Mr. Clean. Let it soak through. Make sure that you've got it upside down, that you've got it face down, so that the dirt and everything is washing out. Soak it until the water finally goes completely clear, and then flip it over. Make sure nothing else is left in there. Hose it down, and then air dry it, and then put it out in front of your door. If that's all you do, if you don't do a kitchen cabinet or a closet, just put out your doormat, a new one or a freshly cleaned one, and wait and see how you feel the next time you walk up to your front door. You'll walk up to it and you go, oh my gosh, you'll feel different, I promise you. And so that's not a big chore. The larger ones are to paint your house. Have a painting party. Buy pizzas, get sodas, and have drinks for when you're all done, and invite two or three friends over like Tom Sawyer did, and whitewash your fence, except it'll be your dining room or your bedroom or something. Invite friends over to help you paint a room in your house. It's not the end of the world. It feels wonderful. Latex paint smells fabulous. And change your perspective and do it with your friends, and put on some good music or whatever, or put on, a Charlie Brown Christmas or It's a Wonderful Life, and paint with that playing on the TV. You will feel amazing. A freshly painted room put back together, it's amazing. Here's one, and this is grim, and I don't want you to think of mummy as being a downer. Give up smoking. Go on a diet. Do things that will change you over this winter. Give up nail biting. Do something that – I'm not going to get into sobriety issues, because that gets really serious. Give up drinking. Okay, well, that could be a very important thing to do during the winter. But give up smoking.
Okay.
Really, there's no reason to be smoking. You need to be good to your body. Be good to your body. I'm going to lose weight. I have been overweight for a while. You've heard me complain about it. You've seen the pictures. You know that Mama used to have a 29-inch waist. And I don't know that I'm going to get down to 29 inches by April, but I am dieting. And I have a problem with food. I am a good cook, and I adore eating. And when we're out traveling, I adore eating out. But it's just got to stop, because what the food tastes like for 5 minutes is not nearly as pleasing in the long run as thin will feel for a month or two. So the brief fix, the drug fix that pan of brownies is not nearly as nice as being able to get into those slacks that, you know, Mummy used to wear when she was gardening. So think about doing a diet. Think about doing something that you can do in little bits. Whatever you do, do not take on a Mount Rushmore-sized project. Do not take on a Gibraltar-sized project. Even alcoholics do not say, I am not going to drink ever again. What do they say? I'm not going to drink today. That's all they do. I'm not going to drink today. Take on changing things that will make your winter wonderful and happier and more fulfilling, and do them small. Do small things. You're going to paint your entire apartment? Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? No. Say, I think it might be fun to paint the inside of my clothes closet. I want to freshen it all up. I'm going to take everything out, and I'm going to whitewash the inside of my clothes closet and make it like a refrigerator. Do it in high-gloss paint. I love the inside of closets being high gloss paint, walls, floors, ceiling, all of it white, and shelves, all in high gloss paint. You feel immaculate. You put your clothes back in there and your stuff, and you feel like you're storing it in a refrigerator. It's like so perfect. Take on one closet and paint it inside and out. And just see what it does to you. It's just little projects. See if they make you feel fabulous. Okay. Gwendolyn, you are swamped with your own business, so you're working around the clock, you know, making fragrances and getting them. And first of all, not only bottling them and sending them and getting them to the post office, but you're experimenting constantly with chemistry. So I don't even know that you have time for chores other than the fact that you recently moved to a new apartment, which is quite a triumph for you. You kind of love it, don't you?
I do. It's very bright and light, whereas the home we had before was a nice house in a quiet area. It's a little noisier here because we have younger people around, but that's cool. But this is just so much sunshine and brightness. And
now, did you move in? Was it
maple.
Already?
Except for the furniture and everything. My sister did a Herculean task getting us in here, and I had to set up the bench. It takes me about a week to, you know, pull down my bench and everything and then put it back up again another week. So, yeah, it is a big project, but I love it here.
But do you have
I
any projects,
do.
Like, again, in Florida? You don't have a shut-in time of like cold winter weather and you're shut away and everything. But do you have projects that when you do have some breathing room, you might do around the house that you're looking forward to doing?
I'm one of your crafty people. I make things. I make little medicine bags and I make shields and feather fans and I make and I paint. I've always done that. You know, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But I make the little things for, you know, folks will say, oh, I love that. And it's like, well, that's nice. You can have that.
Well, I don't have the time now to be doing pottery like I used to. Many people have seen my pottery my Facebook pages and everything. I was quite a potter for many, many years and met many dear friends through pottery. I used to go to Mud, Sweat, and Tears on the like in Hell's Kitchen
just north of Hell's Kitchen. And it's been changed into a different pottery studio now. And I would join it, except that I'm traveling for work too much with George. So I can't really do pottery, because when you do it, usually what you do is you buy a membership and then you have to use it up month by month. You can't just check in and, you know, check out and whatever. But what I am doing is I've dug out. The other thing I used to do was needlepoint, and I did it very heavily. And many of you have seen the needlepoint that I did on Facebook, and I posted it, elaborate needlepoint things that I designed myself some. Some of them I designed, and some I would take kits and then adjust them and do them, you know, make adjustments on them the way I wanted them to be. I have just pulled out a bag of half-finished canvases of needlepoint, and I am determined to start finishing all of my needlepoint projects and get them done and make them into pillows and process them, you know, give them as gifts to friends or to use them or whatever. And So finishing projects is something we all have things that we've half done. And that's another thing to do. Again, I have 12 canvases that are half done. Now, if I look at that bag and I go, oh my God, and here's all the yarn that are in the separate little baggies and that go with each one, it's overwhelming. I look at it and go, oh my God, no, I got to put that back. No, I took out one, and it happens to be a needlepoint canvas of a cherry pie sitting on a blue and white gingham tablecloth. So the needlepoint pillow, and it's petty point, by the way, is a cherry pie with a lattice work on it. And it's like photorealistic. The crust literally is seven different colors of yarn. So that you go from light gold all the way through the gold to the coasty brown. The cherries are seven different colors of reds, starting from the very sparkly lightest red all the way down into the deepest reds that you would see tucked in between the cherries and down into the syrup and everything. The canvas is like 20 colors or something, 25 colors, and I'm doing it, and my God, you have to do it under a bright light, you know, when you're watching Friends or whatever, but you have to put in the effort. I'm determined to finish it. The canvas is half done. I've got half of the pie done and half of the tablecloth that it's sitting on. It's an overhead view of a pie sitting there. And it was originally made to put on a basket top for a pie carrier. So in other words, you were supposed to have it be the lid at a wicker basket that you would have as a pie carrier. Kind of cute, huh? So, and I bought the canvas in Boston. I couldn't resist. So, and I put it aside because it's like, oh my God, my God. But finish projects again. Don't finish every project that you have in your basement, in your garage and everything. Do one. Pick one out and say, you know, I always wanted to finish knitting this scarf. I always wanted to finish doing this thing. Do it. Expand. Make winter expansive, not retractive.
Or, you know, one of the things, do you have a darning ball? You know, one of those old fashioned. Well, I just read a completely beautiful article on repairing your clothes and respecting your clothes and keeping them for, you know, much longer than people do. And I like that idea. I like it a lot.
Years ago, yes, I love that a lot. I had a friend many years ago who's passed away, unfortunately. She used to make rag rugs, and she used to go through her closet and take all the clothes that were just getting so forlorn or whatever, and she would shred them and make them into those wonderful oval rag rugs, you know, where you braid them and then you stitch them together like the foca. And she made them and she adored making them and gave them as gifts. People were orgasmic. They would get a big rolled up thing, you know, covered in brown butcher paper, and it would be one of her rag rugs. It would weigh like 40 pounds. And she's, what is this? And they would, oh my God, you know, they would open it and it would be oval rag rug. Or, oh my God, think of processing things that you don't use anymore. I'm looking at the clock and we're running out of time. I want to just thank Patty Rosato for calling in. I want to remind you that we're here on Blog Talk Radio at Here Be Monsters Network with Come Now, Don't Sulk every Monday at 8:00 Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central or your corresponding time zone. You can find Gwendolyn at daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and you can find Mummy on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can find me at Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild, and you can find me on YouTube, and you can find me next week right here live. You can call in too, and let's think of more things that we could do this winter to make winter fine and fun, okay? Gwendolyn, I guess it's time to say goodnight. Will you see us out with our theme?
I certainly will. Thank you, Mommy.
Thank you, Gwendolyn. I love you more than anything.